Children's church with me. Fly right out that door right there, okay? Thank you all so much. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. The love of God. Did you know? Listen, look at me. Don't let these pretty women walk around. Look at me. Did you know that this book right here, guys, is the only thing in this world that's not dying? You're dying. Trees are dying. Plants are dying. Everything in this world is dying. This is the only thing in the world that's alive that's not dying. Think about that today. That's something, isn't it? We have something that's not getting any older. It's not dying. It is eternal, and it is the Word of God. His love shall evermore endure. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Have a little thank you card I want to read right here from Miss Darlene. It says, Homer, would you please read this for me? I'd like to thank all the people who came by and did clean up at my house earlier this summer. I'd also like to thank the gentleman that came and mowed my yard this summer. I sincerely appreciate all the help all of you have extended to me with much love, Miss Darlene. And thank you so much, Darlene, for that. And we thank God for you, honey. Appreciate you. And I thank you for the church. A church that loves and cares about its community. A church that is made up of people that really are concerned and that really care. Thank you for being such a godly, wonderful church family. Let me and Barbara be your pastor here. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I'm excited about our service this morning. I'm excited about the message that God's let me come to. We are to the third point. When I introduced this, series 3 weeks ago on the magnificence of Jesus, and told you that we were going to spend the next 5 or 6 weeks in just 3 verses of Scripture. Some of you were skeptical that there was enough in 3 verses of Scripture to spend 6 weeks on, but you have discovered that I don't have nearly enough time to spend on one point each Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. But it's wonderful. We're talking about the magnificence of Jesus. How could you ever exhaust that subject? We talked about the 7 descriptions of Jesus that are listed in the first 3 verses of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, number 1, of whom he hath appointed heir of all things, number 2, number 3, by whom also he made the world, number 4, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's the phrase that we're going to sit down on this morning for the next 15 or 20 minutes. He is the brightness of God's glory, and he is the express image of his purpose. Of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he had by himself, we see the other 3 phrases there that are descriptive of him, had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah, glory to God. Isn't that good? And we talked about on the first time, Jesus is the finished word from God. I'm not going to re-preach that message, even though I'd like to. It's wonderful. It was wonderful. He's wonderful. How could I say any more about the finished word from God? That's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He is, point number 2, the cause of all creation. John 1:2, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is the cause of all creation. And this morning, he is the fullness of the Godhead. Simple little old phrase, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The express image means the expression of his substance. The express image, when it says that he is the express image of his birth, it means that it is the expression of his substance. I'm hoping by the time I get through this morning that you will understand what the writer of the book of Hebrews, who I believe was God, and he concealed the author to us for a reason, because this is the only book in the English Bible that begins with the word God. Isn't that amazing? That should tell us something. God, who at sundry times and in divers places and divers ways. So I believe the author was concealed because God wanted to magnify his Son, because his Son had done so much for me and for you. If you'll let that get a hold of you this morning, what Jesus has done for you, I'm sure that you'll have a better day than you will if you don't let that get a hold of you. If you can just really realize how. And we talked in Sunday school. I may take longer this morning. We talked about cremation this morning. I'm going to share with you something at the close of this sermon that may help you take a different perspective on cremation. It's not right or wrong. There's no biblical precedent for it. But I'm going to give you something at the close of the service. It'll help you understand why I feel the way I do about cremation. Okay, but anyhow, that's when we get to the end of it. An hour or 2 later on down the road. Jesus to Philip in John chapter 14 and verse 9. And I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 9. I want you to see a passage of Scripture that's very familiar to all of us. John chapter 14, and let's look at verse 7. Let's just start at verse 7. Now, you know what the situation is here. This is the last night in the upper room. Jesus is getting ready to go to the garden and pray. The crowd's going to come get him. They're going to beat him, hang him. The next morning, he's going to be crucified. And so this is, and he's just told them that. And he says, let not your heart be troubled in verse 1. I've used this scripture in every funeral that I've done since I was called to preach to my best of my recollection. But after he goes through that and says that I'm the way, the truth, and life, no man cometh to the Father but by me, the guys were curious, like we are so often. And Jesus says in verse 7, if you had known me, now this ties into our message this morning because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. That's what I'm talking about. And this message tells us two things about the Father, and then it tells us two consequential things about the Son. Jesus said, if you had known me, back to John chapter 14, verse 7, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him. Now, what did he mean when he said from henceforth? Well, since I've told you that I'm him, and if you see me, you've seen him, then from henceforth you know him. Why? Because we know Jesus. So if we know Jesus, we know the Father. Same thing for us, it was for the disciples. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. What do you mean we've seen him? Look, Philip says, Lord, verse 8, show us the Father, and it satisfies us. Lord says, from now on you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, wait a minute. Something doesn't compute here. I've not seen the Father, I've seen you. I've walked with you for 3 years, but Jesus said unto him, verse 9, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, we know that the Father is invisible, that the Father is a spirit, that no human eye can see him and live. We know that. The Bible tells us that over and over again. But Jesus said to Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe, or believest thou not, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. All the mighty works that Jesus did, all the mighty works that Jesus did was done through him by the Father. If I preach a good sermon, it's God preaching through me by the Holy Spirit. If your Sunday school teacher teaches a good sermon, or a good lesson, it's the Holy Spirit of God teaching through him. If I am the instrument and you focus on me, believe me, folks, you're not going to get a whole lot. But if it's God being able to do his thing through me because I'm close and clean to him and he can speak to your heart, then you'll get something out of the message. But if it's me, you won't. You see, Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me that's doing all these things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul told the church at Colossae, he, talking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn or the beginning of every creature. It's Jesus who is the image of the invisible God. So if we can figure out something about God this morning, it'll help us to figure out some things about the Father. Now, quite simply this morning, I just have two major points. Number one is God the Father. Number two is Jesus, God the Son. So this phrase, who being the brightness of his glory and expressing it as his person, tells us two things about the Father. First of all, he says that Jesus is the brightness of his glory. So that tells us, fact number one, that Jesus, or that God the Father, listen to this, has an unapproachable degree of glory. That's his glory. So it says quite simply in that phrase, he's the brightness of his glory, or of the Father's glory. So that tells us that the Father has an unapproachable degree of glory. That's his glory. John chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, no man has seen God at any time. Little John, chapter 1, verse 5, John makes this statement, God is light. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, when Paul was teaching this young preacher how to preach and what to say and how to act in the church and how to conduct himself in his daily life and all these things, how to prepare sermons, he's speaking of Jesus, or speaking
Bible said to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to understand that the Father, listen to this, that the Father dwelleth in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen or can see. So the Father has an unapproachable degree of glory or light. Now listen, there have been some earthly manifestations or implications of God's glory, of His light. If you'll think about the splendor that surrounded God on Mount Sinai when Moses went up into the mountain, you remember what the Bible said? And it said that they looked and God came down on the mountain and the mountain burned blazing bright as if it were on fire. But, and they couldn't even touch the mountain. They couldn't even get close to the mountain. In fact, they ran and hid and said, Moses, told Moses, said, hide us from the face of God that we won't be consumed ourselves. When they saw just the outward radiance of the glory of God, the manifestation of God, we can't. The sun is nothing. The sun is like flicking your dick when it comes to God's glory, okay? It's just not even in the same ballpark. So it's no problem for God to build a furnace that'll heat this world and how He gets through with it, since He is such a light and power and energy Himself, if you'll have that. Now that's one earthly manifestation, God's splendor on Mount Sinai. Consider in the Holy of Holies and in the temple when He filled it. All through the Bible, when the Bible says that the presence of God filled the temple, what was the one thing that always followed that and no one could enter? You see, when the presence of God was there, no one could even go in the temple. Number three, the vision of Ezekiel. Remember the vision that Ezekiel had down by the river Chebar, verses 1, or chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ezekiel. And he tries to describe the glory of God, and it sounded like a spaceship. Eric von Donovan wrote a whole book about Ezekiel's vision down by the river Chebar. Tried to make it a spaceship, some alien from outer space. Give me a break. It was God. He wasn't in outer space. He's in my heart. That's where He is. But that was God. But Ezekiel tries to describe the magnificence and the glory of God. But never, never has there been the full glory of God seen on this earth accompanied by the face of God. Remember, Moses begged and pleaded that he could see God. And what did God say? God hid His word in the cleft of the rock, and God put His hand over the rock, over the cleft in the rock, so Moses couldn't see His face. And after he passed by, the only thing that Moses could see was the lingering radiance where God's glory had passed. You see, God has an unapproachable degree of glory because no man can see His face and live. Not only does He have an unapproachable degree of glory, He also has a person or substance. It says in that second part of that phrase that Jesus is, listen to this, the express image of His person. In other words, God is a person. The Father is a person, or He is an individual. He has substance. There is a person that is called God the Father that's different from God the Son, but they're never in disagreement, and I hope you'd understand that in a little bit when I get to the Son. The Son is personally distinct from the Father. The Father is the source, but the Son is the manifestation of it. The Father, number one, has an unapproachable degree of glory. The Father, number two, has a person or a substance. He is an individual. So there's God the Father, as described for us in that phrase of chapter 1, verse 3 of the book of Hebrews. And now, finally, consider Jesus, God the Son. Oh, the magnificence of Jesus. If we could just begin to grasp His glory and His power and His condescension and His love for us. If you can get a glimpse of the majesty of the Father, you can begin to grasp to some degree the magnificence of the Son. Now let's apply the two facts of the Father and see how they relate to the Son. Some years ago, Barbara and I made a trip to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And we wanted to see the place where Little Boy and Fat Man were manufactured and put together. And I thought about this yesterday evening. They're out in front of the laboratory where they put together those two atomic bombs that were dropped on Japan. And by the way, if veterans, God bless you, if there hadn't been a Pearl Harbor, there would have never been a Hiroshima and a Nagasaki. Thank you, men, for defeating that enemy and that foe. But there we saw that bomb, exact replica of that bomb without the 140 pounds of
uranium 235. Wasn't that the fuel that detonated? Can you imagine? And there that thing sat. And I began thinking last night. You see, it was only 2 foot around. I was amazed at how small it was. Something that could decimate completely ground, dirt, rocks, and everything for 4 square miles when it exploded 1,500 feet above the ground. What in the world? It must have been big. It wasn't big. It was only 2 foot around, and it was about as long as from here to that beach right there, if that long, sitting up on a rack out there. And I thought to myself, how much like Jesus in the sense of the energy that was stored inside. And you understand, when that bomb exploded, its fuel was only 1.7% consumed. Can you imagine what would have happened if that 100% of that 144 pounds or 140 pounds of uranium-235 had fusion and experienced fusion like it should have? 1.7% of it is all it was. Think about the power, the energy that was in that tube, 2 foot round, about 8 or 10 feet long, weighed 9,700 pounds. Think about the energy that was inside that thing. And there it just sat. And I thought to myself, what an illustration. Do you realize that inside Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was all the power of God Almighty that created this universe, that burned the top of Mount Sinai, that was so bright Moses couldn't look at it, that filled the temple and nobody could go into it? Housed inside the body of that simple little old Galilean, Almighty God dwelt inside that body. Can you imagine what would have happened if God had ever broken out of that body? Everyone around him would have been consumed because you can't look on the face of God and live. Why did Jesus contain himself in that body? Because he loved you. He loved you that much. He wanted to show you what the Father was like. I imagine it would have been a struggle. I mean, if it had been me, if I would have been God, it would have been me. I'd have had to break out once every once in a while. I mean, I just had to show them what is inside. I mean, I just couldn't have done. I'd have had to have done something. I'd have had to level the maker or something other by speaking or spitting or blowing my nose like he did when he parted the waters, you know, said with the blast of his nostrils, he parted the waters. I'd have had to blow my nose something. I'd have had to done something. But Jesus contained it all within himself. Says, and he had to do it right in order to get it done. The magnificence of Jesus. So consider, if you would, with me, two things that he says as I finish up here. Jesus is the brightness of his glory. He says in that first phrase, Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. The Son is of one essence or being or substance with his Father. I struggle with how to help you to understand that. It's like a ray of light from the parent fire with which it is unbreakably joined. That's what he's talking about when he says it's the brightness of his glory. Let me try to help you understand. You see that ray of light over there? That's just the ray of light. Jesus is the brightness of his glory. Here's where it comes from, guys. Look at me. It's my dear spotlight that you kids are supposed to use. Okay? This is where it comes from, right here. Okay? That's just the ray that you see over there. It just brightens up everything. Put Barbara in the spotlight. It's great, man. But it's nothing. It just extends from this. You see, if I cut this off, it's gone. It's not there anymore. Jesus is the brightness. God is the source. The Father is the source. Jesus is just the manifestation or the ray that went out from the Father. If you understand. Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm an extension of him. The rays from the Son only reveal the Son itself. It's not the Son. That what warns us when we walk out, that what's coming through those windows over there, is not the Son. It's just the rays from the Son. That's what Jesus said. I'm just an extension of the glory of God. I remember one time when I was taking that to Grandma American. When it was still making saw blades up there and everything. And the plant manager took us, some of the preachers still on a tour, and he showed us the tempering furnace where they put the temper in the blades after they had made them. And we watched, and I looked in this one furnace, and there was nothing in there. It was just fire. I said,
I said to him, there's nothing in there. He said, there is something in there. This metal has become the temperature of the furnace. The metal has been heated to the temperature of the fire. Just a few more degrees and it would melt completely down. But right where it is now, it's the same color of the fire. You can't even see it because it's consumed by the fire. It's the same. Isn't that amazing? In the presence of that fire, when the metal got just right, all you could see was the fire. You couldn't even see the metal anymore. You see the application to that, folks? When you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. There wasn't any distinction between them. When you and I get so much like God, what will people see in us? Just Him. Listen. Today, when you go out today, make it your goal in life to bless somebody and let them see Jesus. Just let them see. Get over yourself and let them see Jesus just one time today. Bless someone just today. So you understand Jesus is the brightness of the glory. Have you gotten that? I hope yes. Secondly, last point, Jesus is the express image of God's person, it says in that phrase. What does he mean by express image or the perfect revelation of the Father or the very image of his substance or his essential being? Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father. He is the very image of the substance of his essential being. The Greek word signifies the impression produced by a seal or a die. You know what a seal or a die is? Well, get a coin out of your pocket. On this coin, on this particular coin, there is the impression of a man. I guess this has got a picture of a woman holding a baby. This is one of those dollars. And it has, in God we trust, and it has liberty, and it has 2,000, and it has a Denver mark, mint mark. And on the back, it's got 13 stars. It's got the flying eagle and all this. Three years ago, Barbara and I went through the mint in Philadelphia. This is not the die. This is not the die. There's a little round die about that big around, about 6 inches long, that chucks up in a punch press. And it has a receiver that makes the backside of this thing. And every time that thing, we watched it, every time that thing strokes, it spits out a dollar. I'd like to sit there for just a few hours. That thing is spitting out dollars. Every one of these coins is the express image of the die. Do you understand what I'm saying about Jesus the Son now? He's not the die, but he's the express image of it. The die looks just like, you can buy one of those dies. But they grind the face off of it before they sell it. Who wants a die with no face? It's just a chunk of steel then. He is the express image. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, Paul said to the Colossian church again, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 45, he that hath seen me hath seen him that sent me. In John chapter 14, verse 9, I read for you a while ago, Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Then Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Look at your coin. You're looking at the die that's in Philadelphia in the safe up there that they used to make the coins with. Look at the Son, and you're looking at the Father that's in heaven that manifests himself through the Son. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at the Son. Here's a conclusion. Aren't you glad? Then you can come play. Then if you want to, get ready to sing something. Linda, Brittany, sing with the kids. Whatever Linda plays, you get ready to sing. You have no choice in this matter, brother. She'll choose. You can lead from back there up here. Listen to this now. I used to be big on science fiction before it got so quirky and crazy and out there. I mean, I used to read lots of science fiction books before they went crazy. You've seen Star Wars and some of these movies, Star Trek, the aliens. You've seen some of the imaginations of man, what they make these other aliens. Some of them have a long neck, a long face, one eye in the middle and a mouth on the side, and some of them 16 arms. Listen to me. God, when he got ready to create human beings, and if you find any more life in anywhere else in the universe that are human beings, they look just like you, okay? son or something other. Because God said, this is the greatest thing that I can create. You want to know what God looks like? Get your compact out and look in the mirror. You look just like Jesus looked. The color of your skin may be a little bit different. Your nose might be a little bit longer. Teeth might be a little bit straighter, more crooked. But he looked like God. God said, I want to make man in my image. Let's make him in our image. In the very image of God created he then. You understand why I don't believe in cremation now. Doesn't bother me if you do it, okay? Just don't do it after you die. But anyhow, doesn't bother me if you do it. But I'm a little image of God. How many of you would take an image of God and throw it in the fire? I was created in the image of God. God loved you so much. The greatest thing he could do was make his son, or was to send his son, and his son took on the body of human flesh. And 4,000 years before that, Jesus said, let's make man to look like us. We're basically what God looks like, guys. Some of us a little bit heavier, some of us a little bit lighter, but we're what God looks like. What a great honor that he's bestowed on us to remind us every day. Every time I look at one of your faces, some of you don't act too godly all the time, but every time I look at one of your faces, I see a little image of God that should remind me of God and how much he loved me. Because when I look in the mirror of the morning, even though this old body's aging, getting wrinkled, getting old, and getting bumps and wrinkled places, getting used to have, it's still the image of God. And someday it's going to be renewed perfect. Perfect. God said, let's make him in our image. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created in him. All the magnificence of Jesus. He loved you so much, my friend. So he made you to look like him. Let's bow our heads. Now, while I pray this morning, I want to ask you here this morning. I've prayed this morning for every one of you that are here. Well, before probably you even got up, I prayed that if you were lost this morning, that God would save you. I prayed that if you were backslidden, God would renew you. I prayed that if you were hurting, God would heal you. I prayed that if God was calling you to something, that you'd surrender to his call on your life. So this morning, before I pray, if there's any of you that has any spiritual need in your life, I cannot impress upon you how tremendously significant you are in the sight of God. God loved you so much. You know, the Bible tells us that it was he that knit you together in your mother's womb. When that baby comes, when you came, that baby was designed the way God wanted it designed. You were designed that way. So if there's something in your life, if there's a spiritual need, if you need to be born again, Jesus died so you could be saved. All you have to do is accept the gift that he's offered you. But he expects your life back in return. So you can say, Lord, I accept this morning the gift of eternal life you give me. I repent of my sins and I give myself to you. If you've been cold on the Lord, if you've been discouraged and down and out, not spiritually what you ought to be, this morning you say, Lord, I want you to renew me. I give myself to you and I want you to restore and build the fire back in me that was once there that I can express the love of Jesus to everybody I come in contact with. Oh, my dear friend, if you're hurting this morning, if you're hurting, Jesus cares. Every time there's a sparrow's funeral, Jesus attends it. He's there. He cares intimately about everything in your life. So whatever's going on in your life this morning, Jesus cares. The altar is open. You can come and pray. You can bring your burdens to him. You can bring your burdens to loved ones up here, the things that you're struggling going through. If you need to be saved, you can come and ask Jesus in your heart. Some of us will pray with you. Anything that there's any need there is in your heart this morning, as God speaks to you, would you stand with me? And would you join me in song? And if God's dealing with you and you need to come, I invite you to come while Dan leads us in the songs. We go right now. They know that. Start singing. If God's dealing with you, I invite you to come.
it's going to be a vice versa. If you need to come, the owner's open. I invite you to come. Six more houses that we need to visit before the end of the year. There are three packets over here already prepared. If you would come and pick up one of them has seven apartments, one of them has seven houses, and one of them has nine houses. So if you would pick up one of these packets this morning, those of you that will, I would appreciate it. I already have mine. If we get all these done today, there'll be 226 houses left. I would love to get that done before the end of the year. So I'd like for all of you, while Dan's closing us in a word of prayer, I'd like for all of you to bow your heads, and I'd like for you to say, Lord, would you have me to take a friend or a wife or a husband or someone and go out this afternoon and visit those seven apartments or those seven houses or those nine houses. Lord, if you would, I'd be willing to do that. Think of what he did for you. He loved you enough till he made you to look like him. What a great, great honor and a blessing. Demonstrates his love. So while the closing prayer is being said, I want you to ask Jesus, Lord, do you want me to go visit this afternoon? Or you can do it sometime during the week if you like. Just pick up one of those packets. If you don't know where the road is, I'll explain it to you and show you. Thank you for your attention this morning. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you all. Everyone.